want to welcome all of our friends from around the world. If you cannot hear or read or see this language, I mean this sermon in your own language, email us, text us, do whatever you need to do. And let us know. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. As I preach in your hearing a new message in a new series titled Continue in Prayer for the Furtherance of the Gospel, or simply titled The Prayer, that is, Prayer and the Gospel. And that's what I would like to change it to. Prayer and the Gospel. Part 1, Praying Through the Bible, message number 333. Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The Bible reads, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Verse 2, Continue in prayer and watch in the same. In other words, while you pray, keep on watching with thanksgiving. Verse 3, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for giving us a mind to pray earlier today, several times, but also, Lord, to pray in this service for the people who send in their prayer requests to us, and for so many other things as well. We thank you, Lord, that this prayer meeting has truly been a prayer meeting for many years now, and not only a place where we hear more about prayer and never practice prayer. For there is power, great power, in and through prayer. As you know, by your grace, I've seen it over the past 40 years. For you taught me as a young Christian that all things are possible with you. You taught me as a young Christian, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I still believe that today, even more so, because you have proven it to me and to many others. And so, Holy Father God, as we are before your throne of grace, and we want to stay there for the rest of the day, we want to pray without ceasing, as we are told here in this passage. Someone said that prayer to the Christian ought to be like breathing. That's a continual thing. Has to be if we're going to live. And if we're going to live and survive as Christians, we need to pray without ceasing. And so we thank you for reminding us today of the importance of continuing in prayer. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our family, no matter what's going on with us, to pray without ceasing, to pray always, to continue in prayer, to continue instant in prayer. grant us your grace and your strength and your unction and the power of your Holy Spirit, not only to preach, but to pray, and to also hear your holy word on prayer, and to practice it, and to do it. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the devil is always busy fighting against us because we're always praying and always preaching the gospel. So he is mad as hell at us. And he's using anybody and anything that he can, including family members and people on the outside, to try to stop us and to try to hinder us from preaching your holy gospel, and to try to distract us from praying, for praying and preaching go together, as we see in this passage. And we pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit, and once again hold the devils and the demons and the Judases at bay. And the reality is tonight, Lord, we would not be at message 333 in a row on prayer on a Wednesday. If it had not been for prayer, we would have never made it. We would have never made it, for real. And you know it, and I know it, and I give you the glory, praise, and honor for hearing and answering oftentimes just my prayers, and stopping the demons and the devils from hell, and the Judases from hell, from trying to hinder your work, or from hindering your work, because they certainly tried. And we pray that in the end, as prayer and preaching the gospel go together, we pray for over 3 million souls to hear the gospel from this pulpit, from this poor preacher, before I die, and that they would come to know your Savior. And I pray for over 3 million Christians to come out of their backslidden state, pray, seek your face, turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves, and turn back to you, Lord Jesus, their first love. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to supply all of our needs as we proclaim the gospel to every country of the world, through the means that you have blessed us with. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I want to preach in your hearing today. And by the way, you need to know that every service, all of these Wednesday services, we only had one that we didn't do it this way. We pray over a huge list of prayer requests and other things regarding the ministry before I preach. And so before you, most of you get logged on to the services through Periscope, through Facebook Live, we have already prayed over many, many people and many things. My point in sharing that with you, some of you already know this, is because prayer meeting is not just about hearing about prayer. It's about praying. The problem in the church today is we love to go to seminars and we love to go to conferences and meetings. Really what we love is getting together and eating and fellowshipping and sharing our problems. Rarely do people pray. In many cases, pastors don't pray. It's not some kind of conjecture. I know this to be a fact. And I know the reasons why. I've had pastors to tell me that is a weakness. And so therefore, if they have a problem praying at home, praying with their wives, praying with their children, then they're not going to lead the church to pray. And most church prayer meetings today are minus the pastor. Sad to say. When they ought to be leading the congregation in prayer. So it's not about just having a meeting and hearing preaching or preaching, but actually praying. And it would do some churches good just to get together and pray. No preaching, no fellowship, no food, just pray. For sadly, we have many pastors and churches who are playing instead of praying. And I get that from Dr. Ravenhill, who is now dead and gone and home with the Lord. Be that as it may, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you very simply to pray, to challenge you to pray, to dare you to pray and trust God. And stop worrying and stop fretting and stop running away from your problems and pray without ceasing. And to exhort you to pray to God. And if you will, to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we have, by the grace of God, highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 332 messages in this long but important series, which is no doubt one of the main works of my life. This is message number 333, titled Prayer and Preaching, or Prayer and the Gospel, Part 1. By way of background introduction, Dr. John Walvoord and Dr. Roy Zuck, Dallas Theological Seminary men, gifted men, who know how, by the grace of God, to break things down and make it understandable regarding the Word of God. I think one is dead and gone and on to heaven. One is still with us. We thank God for them and their gifts. Editors of the Bible Knowledge Commentary. And what a blessing that has been to many preachers who don't have those gifts that they have. But they can preach better than these teachers. But be that as it may, we all need the gifts in the body of Christ. We thank God for these brothers. And I'm one of these preachers, and since I'm preaching every day, I don't have the time to do a lot of the stuff that we're told to do in seminary. And so I like to quote people who are gifted to break it down for us, particularly background information and introductory information. And so that's what I do. They said, regarding this passage, Paul not only practiced a mature prayer life, but he also prescribed it for all believers. Amen, somebody. He practiced what he preached. unlike so many people today. They should devote themselves to prayer. Have you done that yet? Are you devoted to prayer to God? Prayer is not a spiritual luxury. It is essential for growth. Prayer is vital to one's spiritual health. Prayer is vital to one's spiritual health as breathing is to one's physical health. Should be continual. Amen, somebody. Not casual. Not just when you want it, when you want to. In Paul's praying, a Christian, this is what Paul is telling us, in his praying, a Christian should be watchful against spiritual drowsiness caused by not praying and caused by attention to the world and or by the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil. Being thankful should always accompany prayer, for it places a believer in the proper attitude before God. Pray for us. Pray for us was a request Paul often made of his readers and of those he had led to the Lord. His request was not selfish. It was for an open door through which he could clearly minister the gospel message. Oftentimes when, and I'm talking now, if you will, oftentimes when Paul asked for prayer, it was not for deliverance for himself. It was not for him to gain some material thing or some financial thing, but he prayed for the ability and the open doors to preach the gospel to the lost, to proclaim Christ, what he would say, the mysteries of Christ. The mystery of Christ. Back to the text. For which he was in chains. He desired not only an opportunity to preach, but also clarity in preaching, that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. End of quote. And that last point, ladies and gentlemen, is very important to me, extremely important to me, because I got saved outside of the traditional black church that I was raised in, both the Pentecostal and the Baptist church. And I was, once I truly got born again through a Bible-believing Baptist church 40 years ago this year, and I started getting discipled and hearing the preaching, what drew me to it was the clarity of the gospel, how that the gospel was clear for the first time in my life. Those of you who are raised in the traditional black church, that was not always the case. We thank God for those churches that were that way, but the churches I was raised in were not that way. They did not proclaim the gospel clearly. It was all jumbled up with a whole bunch of other stuff. And then a whole lot of what they call hooping preaching, sing-song preaching, where you can't understand what the man is saying. So Paul not only wanted to get people to pray for him so that he can preach the gospel, but he wanted to make sure that he was clear, and that is so important. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Paul began his letter to the Colossian believers by telling them how he and his companions earnestly praised God for them and prayed for their spiritual growth. Now, as he closes this passage, he encourages them to continue in prayer and to pray for him as he seeks to continue preaching the gospel. He didn't ask them to pray that he gets a Bentley or a Mercedes or an airplane. He didn't even ask for a miracle to get released out of jail, because he understood that if a man preached the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, that even in jail he would have an impact because of the power of God. Amen, somebody. You must understand, beloved, that the gospel and the word of God is not bound, even though we may be bound. The Greek word translated as continue means to be steadfastly attentive unto, to give unremitting care to a thing, to focus in on it, to persevere and not quit. And if you're going to pray continually, if you're going to pray without ceasing, you're going to need perseverance, not to faint. You can't be a quitter in prayer. To be in constant readiness, continuing instant in prayer. And so, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, prayer is the most important thing we can do. And along with prayer, we ought to be thankful for the prayers God has already answered, and for some of us is in the multiplied thousands of answered prayers. And the wonderful things through those prayers he has already done. Amen, somebody. For without prayer, the gospel moves very slowly, if at all, into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And therein lies the problem in most churches today, and every pastor, every saved pastor, every saved minister. By the way, there's no such thing as servant leaders. That's not in the Bible. That's just a slick way for men to feel important. They gotta have that leader thing, and that's not in the Bible. If you're called to preach, you are a minister. You can call yourself a teacher if that's what you want to do, but these describe the job that you're supposed to be doing, not your title. Your name is whatever your parents called you. I do have some dear brothers who call themselves saints because the Bible talks about saints in 1 Corinthians, but I wouldn't do that either. Don't get caught up in titles and tags to your name. You're just a servant of God, and you need to understand that. The problem in the church is, ladies and gentlemen, we have too many servant leaders and no prayers. Too many bishops, too many apostles, God help us. Too many shuckers and drivers and nobody praying, no prayers. We have a bunch of players, and I mean that in multiple ways, but few prayers. How about it, dear Christian friend? Are you devoted to prayer to God? Not only to prayer now, prayer to God. We got some folks who are big on prayer, but not prayer to God. The focus is not on God, it's on the prayer. Prayer is not for the lazy. Prayer is not for those who desire that their life be a bed of roses. It will not be, and I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that it is. It will be immensely better, but you will catch hell if you're going to pray without ceasing and not stop. Prayer is for the Christian who understands that prayer is warfare, that prayer is consequential action that prompts God to work in the earth for the salvation of lost souls, for the revival and the bringing back of Christians, and for His glory. Amen, somebody. And ladies and gentlemen, I have so much to share with you today. Over half of this message is still on paper, but God is leading me to close it at this point. And so, dear friends, those of you who name the name of Christ, stop playing and start praying here at the beginning of this year. Also, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer, if you will. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am, just as is the Pope, and that you have broken God's commandments, God's laws, as we all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages, the payment, the payback for sin is death. That's it. Everybody is dying. You may die today. That's just, nobody's trying to scare you. You have watched movies that are scarier than what I just said. Everybody is dying. And you may die today. That's a reality. That's a fact. See, the problem with dying is that we don't know when. And with our arrogant, stubborn, rebellious selves, we really think down deep we're not going to die. But you will. Sir, ma'am, you will leave here, and it could be today. Your body will be put in the grave. Your soul will go to either heaven or hell. It's just as simple as that. If you have trusted Christ as Savior, you will avoid hell and you'll go to heaven. If you have not trusted Christ as Savior, and yet you rejected Him, you will go to hell to burn forever. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me again. I'm not trying to scare you. That's just a reality. You might be scared because you've never heard that before from your pastor down at the church. But hell is a reality. And you must accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. If you have never met Christ as Savior, you've never trusted Him as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And God is just. And if you go to hell, you will go to hell because of your own sins, your own foolishness, your own rejecting of Christ, God's plan of salvation. That's why Jesus is calling you. The Holy Spirit of God is calling you. Every new year, I believe that so many people are reminded of their obligations to God, and how that they're not doing right, and that they need to make a change, not only in their diet, but in their souls, in their spirits. They understand that one day they're going to leave here, and they need to get things right with, in their words, the man upstairs. We assume that they're talking about God. They're talking about Jesus. But January passes, and they don't do it. And they live another year of rebelliousness and sin and foolishness. God is speaking to you right now. God is calling you right now, and you know it. At the same time, I am ashamed to say The other big problem is, as Jesus made it very clear even when he was here, the fields are white on the harvest, but the laborers are few. Too many Christians are trying to get theirs and get what they want. They neglect lost sinners who are on their way to hell. But hell is a reality nonetheless. And here are the people who are going to hell. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, people too afraid to get saved because they are afraid what mom and them might say, or what their friends might say, or what their spouse may say. Fearful, unbelieving, those who don't believe in God, those who call themselves strong words such as atheists, agnostics, they're going to hell, they're going to the lake of fire. Abominable, people who are abominable, people who do abominable things, those who rape little girls, those who rape young ladies before they're 18 years old, the R. Kellys of the world, and all of these older women raping 14-year-old boys, 12-year-old boys, married women getting boys drunk and raping them, another demonic phenomenon, abominable, wicked, evil people who call themselves having sex with animals, wicked, evil, ungodly people. These are going to hell. They can't go to heaven. You don't even want them. You don't even want them in hell. How can they go to heaven? Men who are homosexuals, women who are lesbians, committing abominable acts in God's sight. I didn't call it abominable. God did. Don't get mad with me. The abominable, and what we're saying here today, if you're doing this stuff, this is your lifestyle, and you're defending it, and you're fighting for it, and you're marching for it, I can assure you, you're marching straight to hell. Because if you have ever trusted Christ, you're not going to continue to do this. You're not going to continue in sin. Murderers, you don't even want murderers in hell. How do you expect them to go to heaven? The only way they can go to heaven is to trust Christ as Savior. All of these people that I'm naming, they're in the Word of God, and they can go to heaven if they trust Christ as Savior and repent of their sins. The evidence of your being born again and saved is the repenting of your sins and your life changing. It's not going to be overnight. But if you truly get born again, you will change. It's not something you do by willpower. It's by the Holy Spirit of God, Christ living inside of you. And one of the reasons why you will change is because if you try to sin and you do evil and you're born again, you're going to come under heavy conviction. But it's not only the homosexuals going to hell, not only the murderers, but whoremongers. People who commit adultery and fornication. People who have sex outside of the bonds of marriage, which is done millions of times a day now. Whoremongers. Whores. That's included. Prostitutes. Pimps. If they don't repent and trust Christ as Savior, will go to hell. They're going to hell. This is what the Bible says. I'm reading straight from the Bible. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo and Satanism and all of that foolishness are going to hell. But you say, but preacher, I just don't believe my God will send me to hell. No, you're sending yourself to hell if you practice this. And you hear the gospel and you don't obey the gospel, you're going to hell. You don't trust Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. When you trust Christ as Savior, it is already built in that you must repent and turn from your old life. Everybody knows that. That's common sense. It's common sense. He died for sin. He died for your sins. God forbid that we continue in sin. You know that. Don't play that game. Don't think. If you think that you can trust Christ and then still paint the town red, being a whore and a whoremonger and a prostitute and a pimp, you're not serious. And God knows it. I mean, please remember now, you're dealing with God. You can't play that game with Him. It is easy to believe in Christ. God and Jesus made it easy for us to do. But it was not easy for Him, and He's not playing. And idolaters, the Bible says, all people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars, if God did not get you on these other folks, on these other sins, He's got you on the lying. I've never met anybody who's never lied. And some lie more than others, of course, sad to say. But all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, preacher, you stayed a little bit long on that right there. Why did you do that? Because most preachers don't preach on hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible and most preachers today, and that's a fact. Why? Is it because He hates us? No. It is because He loves us. And Jesus, being God, cannot lie. He has to tell you the truth. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for Jesus to lie. Now, hell is bad news. The lake of fire is bad news. You should avoid going there. And so I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be willing to repent of your sins. Turn from your evil ways. That goes together. Believe in your heart that He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and He will. This is a life and death, an eternal life and death decision, dear friend. This is not a game. This is reality. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Not just saved from a bad life, a bad marriage, a bad financial situation. Saved from hell. And all of that may not get better. It may get worse. I don't know. Depends on how God wants to teach you something. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that the Christian life is an easy road when millions will say that it is not. But it's the best road. I can assure you that. Trust Christ as Savior today. Believe in your heart that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask Him to save your soul from hell and to come into your life. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Somebody helped me 40 years ago. I'm glad to help you. Trust Christ as Savior. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner by nature and by choice. I admit that I have committed some of these sins that were mentioned earlier. I have been an unbeliever. I have been fearful of what people might think of me. I have been a whoremonger or a whore. I have lied many times. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul and upon my spirit. and please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. We'll save you just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. Just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. Dear friend, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.